Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining Jewish Stories and More. At the end of yesterday's story, I said that I would be telling another story about mikveh today, and it's also an Australia story. There was a shliach from Australia who heard that the Rebbe had asked all the teachers, shluchim, and so forth in Chabad to teach women about mikveh, about taharas hamishpacha, about family purity, and how women each month should go to the mikveh if they are married and of the right age and so forth, or about to be married. And many shluchim at that time, and many teachers at that time, felt it's not very PC, it's not politically correct. These kind of things have never been advertised to teach about taharas hamishpacha, the idea of family purity and the laws surrounding the relationship between the husband and wife, although they are, of course, everybody agrees, very, very, very important, but they've always been taught very, very quietly, privately, and to now start with advertisements and public shiurim, public classes, and so forth, in this sensitive topic, everybody hesitated, but the Rebbe was very clear that it was time to do this. It was very, very important. Many, many Jewish women don't know about it, and they're not going to find out if we don't tell them. And therefore, we have to tell them in a public way, and we have to have shiurim, classes which are available publicly. But it was a new thing, and one of the shluchim, perhaps it was the head shliach, I'm not sure, from Australia, or from one of the cities in Australia, had a conversation with the Rebbe about it, and said, in Australia, people are very, very not in the habit of such things. I don't think it would go over well at all to publicize a class in this type of a topic, something which is usually so private. I just don't think that Australia is the place for it. But the Rebbe urged him and insisted that he should actually make classes, a series of classes, which would be publicized and it would be open and people would all hear about it and hopefully they would come. Okay, so the shliach, of course, the Rebbe said clearly, there's no question, this is what the Rebbe wants, okay. So he went back to Australia and he prepared a series of six classes and it was publicized widely in the city. Finally came the first class. One woman attended. One woman. So the shliach wrote to the Rebbe and said, only one woman came. I'm not sure exactly at which point the Rebbe answered, whether it was after the first one or perhaps after all six classes in which only this one woman attended. I think it was maybe at the end of all six classes. Only one woman attended every single week. And the shliach said to the Rebbe, I told the Rebbe that Australia is not ready for this. Only one woman attended. The Rebbe answered, how many mothers did Moshe have? What did the Rebbe mean by this? He meant one woman learning about taharas hamishpacha, the laws of family purity and mikveh, is not nothing. Here, Moshe had one mother, and that mother knew about these halachas. Yocheved, she knew about these halachas, and partially as a result of her keeping these halachas, Moshe Rabbeinu came to our world. Moses, our teacher, through whom we have the entire Torah from Hashem, was born. So if one woman came to the classes and learned about Taharas Mishpacha, about these laws, and will keep these laws, that is a huge accomplishment. There's nothing that can compare to that accomplishment. If one person now keeps these laws and has a child born in family purity according to the laws of family purity, how can you call one mother learning these laws a small accomplishment? And so it is really with all of the mitzvahs. The Rambam tells us that we should imagine the entire world on a scale. I mean, a scale which has two sides and they're balanced. It's called the laboratory scale. With all of the good on one side in the world and all the bad on the other side, they're exactly balanced. And if we do one mitzvah, even one good word, even one good thought of one person, that can tip the entire scale, says the Rambam, and it could bring salvation, it could bring geula to the entire world. So too with us. Anytime we have a chance to do a mitzvah, to learn Torah, to help another Jew, to learn any part of Torah, especially, as we know, the laws and the topics that have to do with Mashiach and Geula, which we are waiting for every moment, this can tip the entire scale and bring Mashiach. And so therefore, I would encourage everybody to really get involved even more than they were yesterday. And in fact, in today's Mashiach and Redemption insight, it's actually from the Rambam, and it's actually from chapter 11 of the Laws of Kings and Their Wars, and Melech Mashiach, King Mashiach. And it's halacha number 3. The Rambam tells us about how to recognize a person who we can assume is Mashiach. If the person is a descendant of King David through Shlomo HaMelech, through King Solomon, and he is a great Torah scholar, a very great Torah scholar, and he is working to bring about the strengthening and the rebuilding of the Jewish people, then we can assume it's Mashiach. And in fact, in the times of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva felt that Ben Koziba was Mashiach because he qualified at least for the assumption of being Mashiach. He was descended from King David. He was through King Solomon. He was a great Torah scholar, and he was fighting the wars of Hashem, meaning that he was working very hard to try to build the Jewish people, protect the Jewish people. At that time, he was protecting them and trying to save them from the Roman Empire, from the Roman army. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva, v'hu haya oimer alav shehu melech ha-mashiach, he would say about him that he's melech ha-mashiach, that he's King Mashiach, because he had what it took to be assumed to be King Mashiach. Now, it's true, in the end, he sinned and he disqualified himself and he was killed. However, before that happened, Rabbi Kiva used to say, which seemingly, as the Rebbe interprets it, means that he would constantly say this expression, Hu Haya Oimer. The Rebbe sees it in Pirkei Avos, he explains that this means he would say that thing all the time. So Rabbi Kiva seemingly would say constantly, all the time, tell everybody that Bar Kochba ben Koziba was Melech Mashiach, or at least that is to say, potentially. From this we see that when we observe a certain Jew who has the capacity to be Mashiach, has the qualifications, he comes from the house of David through King Solomon, and he's a great Torah scholar, and he's fighting the wars of Hashem to try to rebuild and to strengthen the Jewish people, then we can assume it's Mashiach. Now, if he fails, okay, so he could have just been a kosher candidate. But it's something that we should do to identify this person, to say this person has the assumption of being Melech HaMashiach, and this will actually help that if he has that ability, it can actually come out in reality. May happen immediately, especially through our increase in Torah and mitzvahs, learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, acts of goodness and kindness, and especially learning about Mashiach and Geula in the Torah. Thank you so much for joining Jewish Stories and More.